Welcome to the debut episode of PX Pulse, the Advocacy Chronicles, a new series shining a light on fierce and effective advocates. You'll hear the ins and outs of one key fight and how advocates win or refuse to fail. Each episode will take you behind the scenes to learn about crucial issues, strategies that work, winning tactics, and improvised solutions. I'm your host, Manju Chathani Gada. It's my pleasure to have Yvette Raphael here. She's the executive director of APA, a South African organization for the advocacy for prevention of HIV and AIDS. She's also a 2014 AVAC advocacy fellow. Yvette is celebrated as one of South Africa's leading human rights activists. She co-chairs the African Women's HIV Prevention Community Accountability Board, or ALCAB, which launched the HIV Prevention Choice Manifesto in Kampala in September 2023. The manifesto calls for choice in HIV prevention options for women, such as oral and injectable PrEP, the vaginal ring, and the dual prevention pill, and a commitment to expanding access to them. Yvette, why was choice the issue you wanted to fight for, and why a manifesto?
Well, Manju, I think you just with the introduction mentioned that I've been part of the HIV prevention advocacy for a long time. And as a young activist, the naivety was that I thought we will do things real quick. And I learned fast that for policy to change, for things to change, you need to invest in one issue that makes sense and that you can rally people around. So we've been speaking around options and choice for a very long time as advocates. But every time something new comes up, we fight for it. We struggle with access. With access in our communities, with access in different countries, but also with access for women. But the big part of that was the fact that we are not making any inroads in bringing down the new infections with young women and girls. And we looked at this and we thought, you know, how about us fight for all of these options to become available so that women are able to make a choice? But what can we do to actually rally policymakers, governments, funders, as well as developers of these modalities to actually be excited to see the future with an HIV-free generation? And the Choice Manifesto was one of those things. And we worked around the clock to make sure this document makes sense.
So what did you win? What was important about this win?
UNAIDS agreed that we need choice. This work took us over a year. We first met with UNAIDS, and that meeting was so scary because UNAIDS at that time did not understand what was presented in front of them. There was just so much questions, and UNAIDS at that meeting, we literally fought for the EXD to understand that we are not fighting only for the ring, but really around choice, because women are not homogeneous. Women are different at different stages of their lives. The big win is we wanted a woman to be the first person to sign on to the Choice Manifesto. We wanted Winnie to lead the Choice Manifesto. And that was the win for us. Another win was that this was launched in Africa.
Why is it so important to get endorsement from UNAIDS, and in particular from the executive director, Winnie Byanyima? What will that endorsement do?
The endorsement by Winnie Byanyima, the EXD of UNAIDS, is currently doing is at that high level, other organizations, other policymakers, developers, all of these agencies, including our governments, take this plight serious. I want to say it's a plight. When I talk to anybody and they tell me about this Choice Manifesto, I said it's aspirational, what we aspire to. So now we are able to use this tool to garner different governments in these countries where the leaders are, to take it seriously. We recently went to meetings and everybody was talking about choice. If it's not the choice manifesto, it's the choice agenda. Everything is now currently interlinking and people are taking notice.
So what's the sign that you're looking for that things are going in the right direction, that this manifesto is not just a document that people are talking about, but it's actually influencing how choice is made available? What do you want to see happen next?
First of all, it's important for us to increase the number of organizations that sign on to the Choice Manifesto. We have challenged organizations who subscribe to the Choice Manifesto to have it visible on their website. And what that will do is that if anybody is applying, let's say, for instance, for funding at USAID, they would then have to say how they are participating, ensuring choice are available. Then organizations can then challenge and say, we subscribe to the Choice Manifesto. This is what we are doing. And we are also looking at how we can ensure the leadership of young women and girls. And that is important. How we will see this is going on is not only people signing on. We'd like to see the choice being top of the agenda in any of the conversations. But what we'd like to also see leadership of young people, not only just being at the table, but like Shakira says, if you don't make space at the table, I would create a table on my own for me and young people. So we'd like to see those tables created inside institutions, inside organizations for young women's leadership.
So you talked about many different strategies to get to the development of the manifesto and then getting UNAIDS to sign on of it. Well, one of those tactics, especially important to getting you where you are.
Yes, very importantly was for us to start talking about what the accountability board is. And that was to sensitize people around what we meant when we spoke about this African Women's Prevention Community Accountability Board. Last year, the theme for World AIDS Day was Let Communities Lead. But we added on to that and say, let women lead, because we knew about the theme beginning of 2023. And we used that to say, if we are going to have to participate in this Let Communities Lead Choice Manifesto, this is one of it. As you know, it was AVAC, AVAC's partners, AVAC fellows, the CASPER meetings, our sister organizations, all the community organizations that sat and struggle with this difficult document. Let it not just be a talk shop. And that is what we used as a strategy to say, let's make this a reality. Many of the things that we are talking about around Let Communities Lead is just questions, but here's something that communities are leading. These are women from South Africa. These are women from Khayelitsha. These are women from Uganda. These are women from the rural parts of Uganda. These are women from Kenya. Let us listen to them. And by showing that we trust their leadership, Winnie came in and Winnie signed onto that. It was a beautiful day of just watching engaging leadership. And young people were not only excited, but also showing their important views in this whole process.
Super exciting, Yvette. So if there are other young advocates who want to follow in your footsteps, who want to take on a really ambitious advocacy project like yours, what would be your advice? What are the pitfalls to expect or avoid, tips or tricks in taking on an ambitious advocacy action?
Oh, this can take us forever. But first of all, I have learned everything takes time. As I mentioned previously, when you have goals, let them be ambitious, be patient, and don't lose your focus from the goal. Time is important because things take long. people, they lose interest. How are you going to continuously engage people to stay engaged, to stay focused, to stay interested? Very importantly, the saying about if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together is no joke. You have to bring everybody together with you. Everybody has to see the vision. Everybody has to believe in the vision for them to stay interested in the end goal. And when the end goal happens, don't make it about you, but rather make it about the community that you intended to have this win for. I learned something very important from Comrade Lillian Mureko. Lillian Mureko said to me, if you want to know what resilience is and what community building is, it is knowing that you are fighting for something that you will never benefit from.
Beautifully said. It keeps us humble and it keeps us focused on the end goal. For others who want to get involved in promoting the Choice Manifesto and using it as a way to make decision makers accountable, where would you point them?
I would first of all point them to find the key organizations in the secretariat and the leadership. It's either APA Advocates for the Prevention of HIV, ICW East Africa, or AFNI, or sometimes they are known as WAKIL. Those four organizations are the driving organizations for the manifesto. Importantly, is for you to read through the manifesto, get to understand what the principles are, and there's an email addresses on the Choice Manifesto that will lead you to how to get involved. And we would certainly respond and we can start working together towards choice for everyone, choice for young women to decrease the number of new infections within that population. And I want to thank the women who are part of the accountability board, the women who are in our communities, the community organizations who believed in us even before we got Winnie Byanyima to sign on. I want to say thank you. And I want to say we will finally get to a point where there are no new infections for young women and girls. That is important for me.
You've been listening to PX Pulse, the Advocacy Chronicles, engineered by Sam Baer in the New York studios of the Relic Room. Our theme music was composed by Joe Stevens. The Advocacy Chronicles were produced by Jean Barron.